Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. Only one place, really. Ali's going to start today's show, and that is in Manchester as City thrash United by 6-3. Phil Foden got a hat-trick. That Haaland chap got another hat-trick. United would get some goals in the second half, but they were completely irrelevant, really. So the overall result, as City take all 3 points from on this. Let's welcome in, shall we? Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nicol is back. But we've got to start with Pablo Zabaleta. Pab, what a performance from your former side.
What a great performance, Stawa, from Man City. They absolutely destroy Manchester United, especially in the 45 minutes. Do you know what? When I first came to the club back in 2008, before the takeover, I never thought I was going to see Man United fans living at halftime in some derby games after 13, 14 years. That's incredible. It tells you how good this Man City are at the moment. They fly in, Haaland, Foden, Kevin De Bruyne, the whole team playing some amazing football, but the difference between both clubs are really, really big at the moment.
Yeah, complete night and day, Stevie. That first half performance was a bit special.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about getting everything spot on. And quite frankly, if it hadn't been Manchester United, I don't care what team it was, City on the form they showed in that 45 would have beaten anybody and would have been 4-0 up against anybody, in my opinion. I mean, the passing was spot on, the pace of the pass was spot on, the movement was spot on, the finishing was spot on. I mean, every single thing they did or tried came off and was absolutely perfect. I mean, 4-0 actually flattered Man United, let's be honest, at half-time. So, yeah, I've not seen a performance like that for a long time. Absolutely breathtaking.
Is it full moon tonight, Stevie? That's quite a beard that has developed over the last couple of weeks.
I'll tell you what. Honestly. I tell you what, I just want to go like that and claw my face. Yeah. Is that itchy?
It really suits you.
Why can't he shave?
Well, the good thing is it's all coming in at the same time.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
Frank, how would you have fancied defending Erling Haaland?
Well, again, I said nowadays, well, lately, and since he signed for Manchester City and maybe before with Dortmund, the guy's an alien. It's impossible to cope with the guy. It feels that the ball's going to come in a place, it tracks you to another place, change his mind, go far post and get the ball, and only him can score a goal like that again. I mean, De Bruyne assist is great on the first second goal of Allen, but you have to launch your leg, and only a tall guy like him can reach that. You know, like he scored the other goal with the high volley. It's fantastic. He's right now the best striker in the world. Simply like that. And I'd have to join Stevie on saying that any club in the world, I think, would have been around 4-0 half time against Manchester City today. I don't try to make Manchester United defeat less painful, but that's the reality of it. I mean, the team, the way they played, the way they found themselves, you know, each other, and the way they finished the action was spot on. That's a fantastic 45 or even more for 50 minutes that I saw in my life. That's fantastic.
Let's take you through some Haaland stats then, shall we? Eight games it took him to score 3 hat-tricks. Compare that to Michael Owen, who had the previous record of 48. Van Nistelrooy 59. Fernando Torres at 64. He's phenomenal, Pablo.
I was looking at that stat and that is ridiculous, isn't it? He's a beast. He, he's, He's everything that you want from a number nine. I say this many times. He's fast, clinical, you know, he can powerful, and it's impossible to defend at the moment Haaland. Strong in the air, in the 18-yard box, it's amazing. Do you see from the corner today, the header was, you know, how you can... It was, I think Eriksen was with him doing a man-to-man marking. You cannot put Eriksen with him. You have to put, I don't know, Baran, someone else, but still impossible to defend when he's just start running, use his arm and everything, and he's a beast. It's impossible to stop him.
Varane was, of course, off the pitch for that corner. A lot of people cared about him lying in the middle of the pitch.
Someone else, I don't know.
But Dan...
Come on. Yeah, go on, Frank.
Dan... the thing is that's absolutely crazy that the fact that we only talking about Haaland, where Foden scored 3 goals and made 2 assists, and his performance has been faded by the excellency of Haaland. Where Foden, young player, fantastic player, scored a hat trick in a derby with 2 assists and been the man of the match, but everybody talks about Haaland.
I was getting to Foden, Frank. We haven't finished the conversation. We still got things.
Too late.
we still got time to talk about Philip Foden, who was, as Frank said, exceptional again today, Stevie. The finishes in particular were world class.
I was talking to Matt Donaldson earlier, and he was talking about Haaland, and then he said, and he said the supporting cast were brilliant as well. I'm like, supporting cast? Phil Foden, the supporting cast, De Bruyne. I mean, again, it just shows you, of course we're going to talk about Haaland, but it just shows you how strong that City are. You know, you talk about strength and depth. If Haaland somehow is either off form or isn't playing, they've still got another 4 or 5 players who you know and think are going to score goals. And Foden showed you. You know, you think about the power of Haaland, well... You talk about a left peg, you talk about a brain and a sweet touch. I mean, that's what Foden's goals were all about. Just a real footballer, a pure footballer with a football brain.
And Pablo, I know it's easy when they're winning, but there seems to be a great spirit amongst this team. We saw Haaland and Foden, everyone joking after the match. And I know you just won 6-3, but if you compare it to maybe somewhere like PSG, which we've discussed a lot about some of the disjointed nature of that dressing room compared to what's at City.
Well, some of the lads been for a while now at the club, Kevin De Bruyne, Gundogan, and Foden, which is a young lad. You came through the academy, and I have to say I'm very pleased to see him doing well, because after being the club been spending big money on players, on big names, he's a local, you know, a local lad, a player from Manchester, and he loves playing for Manchester City, and that connection with Haaland and Julian Alvarez, all the young and new players, is simply brilliant. You could really see that they're enjoying the football, of course, in the way they play. They dominate the games. If you don't enjoy like that, you know, then stop playing football. But it's great. That connection and the team spirit is simply amazing to see.
If I can say something about Phil Foden that I think was perhaps the most impressive thing. Game is 3-0, right? You've already scored a goal. Manchester City are dominating. Now there's the opportunity for the counter. A lesser player in a lesser team with a lesser mentality, as Erling Haaland goes down the left-hand side, you don't do the full sprint that Phil Foden showed that sort of desire to get to the back post. Now, he's even with Malasia at the point in which he starts his sprint. And he says, you know what? I'm going to get to that far post. I'm going to make this game 4-0 because I know that guy is going to find me. And if I make a run, I'm going to have a tap-in finish. Now, there's an amount... Now, obviously, sitting back now, you say, well, obviously, you're going to make that run. Yeah. Obviously, you're going to do the tap-in. But a lot of guys don't do it. Defensively, Malasia didn't do it. Manchester United didn't run, and they were already losing 3-0. They didn't show that sort of pride for their own performance that a kid who's already scored, they're already leading 3-0, he showed it, that he wanted to get there first before the other people so that he could score a goal. And then the joy that you see from Foden, from Haaland, enjoying each other. When they score a goal, they turn right around to the guy who just provided the assist, and they go and enjoy it together. This is a team that is enjoying each other's company, not only because they're playing well together, it's right. because they like each other.
Yep.
And while some people may say that that's not important, in moments where things get tough, when things tend to push you, when you get high pressure, the fact that you care about the guy next to you, I think that keeps a group together and will be important for Manchester City in games that will be tougher than the one they had today.
Let's talk Manchester United, Stevie. What was the worst thing that they did today? Where did they get it wrong?
Well, I think Ten Hag has to take the blame for picking the wrong team. You know, it's everybody's talking about, well, they've had two big games against Liverpool and against Arsenal, and they won them both. But the key is they were at home. And in both games, they defended for their lives. They had to put their body on the line and make challenges and tackles and block shots. But you can do that when you're at home. When you go away from home to a place like City and you start off and everybody knows the game's going to be Man United are going to sit deep and try and counter, well, then you better have some guys in the middle of the park in particular that can defend. So you can't play Christian Eriksen and you can't play Bruno Fernandes. You can't play two of them in a three and expect to be competitive in the middle of the park. So I think, no question, That was the biggest thing for me. They got that completely wrong. As far as the rest of it, I'm not sure we can point too many fingers at United, because they got blown away in the first half. I've already said that it wouldn't have mattered, the kind of form that City were in. You know, people will argue and say, well, there was no challenges. Well, let me tell you, the pace that the ball was moving around City players, you can't get there. You can't get there. And when you can't get there, you can't afford to step out and leave a hole. And so they end up getting stuck between two stools, basically. And because City was so good, you're 4-0 down, the game's done. I would say, by the way, Manchester United have actually come quite a distance. If you think of the absolute shambles and the fact that they threw the towel in away at Brentford early in the season before Ten Hag got there, I mean, they packed it in, they threw it in. They wanted nothing to do with it. No, yes, they got they did get a drubbing, but they didn't stop. They kept going. So I think we've got to give them credit for that. But I think ultimately Ten Hag certainly picked a wrong midfield.
Ten Hag obviously was in charge for that Brentford game, and he made them run. Mm. He was asked in the press conference, are you going to make them run again? Mm. And he said, well, that wasn't the case this time. Mm. You were just going to outclass. But the big question mark when people saw the starting 11 is, why isn't Casemiro in?
Right. Well, why do you bring Casemiro in?
Ten Hag was asked about this, by the way, and he said it's not that Casemiro isn't doing what I want him to do. It's that McTominay is doing very well at the moment.
Oh, well, fantastic, great, okay, delicious. Now you convinced me.
Together.
Now you got me, Ten Hag. Now you got me. Why do you bring in a player like Casemiro if this game wasn't absolutely curtailed for what Casemiro does? Isn't this exactly what he does and has done over the course of his career? And you bring him to provide that protection for a back four. If there was ever a time that a back four needed protection, was today. And if you need to play the two of them on a double pivot with McTominay and Casemiro so that you get the legs of McTominay and then you get the experience of Casemiro, then do that. Sacrifice some things offensively because you know that you're in for a fight. Not necessarily a physical fight, but a fight in terms of how do we cover spaces. Well, you need people that know how to do this naturally. Casemiro is that guy, one of the best in the world in doing it. I have no idea why he's sitting on the bench.
Do you agree, Frank?
I totally agree. I mean, you can dream about, you know, in one counterattack with Rashford, Sancho, or Anthony scoring a goal. But you have to be solid in the middle of the park to make sure that you can defend well, and you can go to the war with something big and strong in the middle of the park. And it didn't. Of course, Casemiro was the easy choice for that game. He didn't pick him. That was Ten Hag's biggest mistake today. It's like going to the war with flowers in your hand. Well, you're going to be destroyed. And it's what happened today with his tactic.
He was asked as well, Stevie, about not putting Cristiano Ronaldo on, and he said someone that's achieved what he had in his life, it didn't feel right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You go and ask any footballer sitting on the bench when the score is 5-1 or 4-0 and the manager looks down the line and says, warm up, you're like, oh, you must be kidding. So nobody wants anything to do with it. Nobody wants anything to do with it. And I think that was he was showing Ronaldo respect, as he said. It was a good move not to put Ronaldo on in that situation.
Pablo, are you still getting into this starting 11?
I'm not too sure. No.
I don't think it'd be 3-3-3.
If Cancelo war could get injury, maybe. Incredible. The squad depth are incredible. They have two big players in each position. How Cancelo can play on the left, and then Walker got injury, then play on the right. They brought that Spanish lad on the left, and I don't think I can get anywhere near of these starting 11. Dan, maybe when I was at my prime, I could challenge for the right back spot, but it would be so difficult to get.
Is this the best City team that you've seen, Pablo?
Sorry, you're asking me, Dan. Yes, I would say. They are probably the best City we have seen in the last 10 years. Man City in 2014, I think that was when we won the league with Manuel Pellegrini. That was an amazing team with Yaya, Torre, Kun Aguero, Silva, Nasri, all at their prime. We played some amazing football, but I think this Man City 11 are a different level. I have to say that they are the best thing we have seen.
Of course, everyone thought it was going to be a battle once again this season between Manchester City and Liverpool as to who would go and win the title. Liverpool are already struggling, aren't they, as they drop more points this weekend. They could only manage a 3-3 draw against Brighton. They were 2-0 down, got back to 3-2, thought maybe they could kick on, but Trossard completed his hat-trick to see 3-3. Stevie, of course, this is the first time we've had you on the show to discuss Liverpool's woes. Where's it going wrong?
I think it's pretty straightforward. When you score 3 goals at home and you only take a point, and then it tells you where the problem is. And quite frankly, Liverpool were lucky to get a point. And somebody will argue and go, well, what do you mean? They were 3-2 up. Well, let me tell you, they should have been 4-0 down at half-time, the same as Man United. Because the chances that Brighton missed, they were comical. And so, yes, they come back, they come fighting back, it's 2 goals, they get 3-2 ahead. But in between all that, Brighton still had chances. And then, of course, they get the equaliser, deservedly so. And again, I think it tells you, not only is the defence a problem, but the guy who's in charge of the defence is having a tough time right now. He can't make the right decision for trying. I mean, Virgil van Dijk's attempt at a clearance for the third goal was actually quite embarrassing, the way he whiffed on it. And so, when you're Colossus, shall we say, and the guy who has held everything together and who's been the real leader defensively is having a real tough time, then it just points straight at the defence. The defence is an absolute shamble. Again, everything's coming down the right-hand side, and then when it gets put in the box, there's nobody in a red jersey to either clear it or affect it or make a good decision. And the opposition, regardless of who they are, by the way, are getting chances. And right now, previously Alisson was making save after save, but right now he's not making as many saves. And so they're just leaking goals. Scandalous. As I said, you score 3 goals at home and you don't win the game. Wow.
Stevie, in your absence, Frank Leboeuf upset a lot of people when saying that Trent Alexander is a good player, but he's a championship level defender. Rio Ferdinand having a go at you, Frank, amongst many other people as well, just in general. He kind of supported your claim, didn't he, once again yesterday?
So you're talking. Yeah.
Frank, yeah. Sorry, Frank.
Listen, we know he's not a fullback, he's not a defender. everybody knows he's not a defender, so I don't understand where this everybody's like aghast that he's making mistakes. He's been making mistakes forever. But Liverpool around the rest of the park were just so good that he didn't really have to do an awful lot of defending. That's just the truth of the matter. Previously, he hasn't had to defend. But because of the situation Liverpool are in now, as far as the teams they're picking, as far as the form, he's having to do way more defending than he's capable of. And so it sticks out. So, you know, in some ways it's not his fault. Klopp plays the way he does, and it doesn't look like he's changing it, and that means he's going to put Alexander-Arnold in a position where he's going to have to defend a lot, and when you're not capable of it, then you're going to show up. And I think in this Brighton game, you saw a player who's been affected by all these comments and all this scrutiny, because it's now beginning to affect him going forward. The amount of times he gave the ball away against Brighton was scary. His touch looked a little unsure, and that's just not like him. It's just not like him. So I think all this talk's beginning to affect him as well. But yeah, Klopp's stubbornness to continue to play the way they do and put him in that spot, it's not going to change, because it's just not something he can do particularly well.
It's your fault, Frank.
Yes, it seems to be my fault, earlier. Trent Alexander-Arnold listened to me and now he doesn't play well. That's what it is. Now, the thing is that I want to make things clear about that, because it was in a French newspaper, and I want to thank the English media, you know, who took only one half of the sentence that I made to make sure that it was obviously very harsh and very hard on Trent Alexander-Arnold. I only said that I love the guy. The way he was playing offensively as a fullback is absolutely fantastic and he's one of the best. But I said defensively, really, it's championship level. And I said, I want to help him. I would love to tell him, you know, just look behind you what's going on and it's going to be better. That's what I said. He became only Trent Alexander-Arnold is just a Champions League level player. Never said that. Of course, out of context. But thank you to the English media. Now people are insulting me and saying that I'm racist. Well done, well done. But by the way, I really think that Trent Alexander-Arnold is a great player, and he will never improve defensively because he doesn't have the basics. And we didn't see that because... And we talked about Manchester United, middle of the park today. At the time where Trent was doing so great for Liverpool, he had people covering him, helping him, you know, Anderson at the time, you know, coming and covering him. That's something we don't see anymore. Van Dijk was at the top of the top, and we saw with his third goal that he wasn't there. And that's what it is. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a good shape, we're not in a good shape, and your team is not playing well, your weaknesses are shown more than usually. But I really wish, because I really love the guy, that TAA is going to be much better very soon. Really.
Pablo, how much trouble is this Liverpool defence in?
Yeah, not good at the moment. They are through difficult moments, but I think the whole team, I mean... Firmino, Mo Salah, deep in form, I think is affecting a little bit that Liverpool team as well. But you have to try to keep a clean sheet. At the moment, they're conceding too much. They know they have quality enough up front to score goals. They're still playing attacking football. But of course, when you're conceding too much, at least you have to adjust something at the back and see what you can change to at least make sure that you are more solid defensively and not to concede goals and go from there. So, but I don't know if Klopp will change something. Always we have seen Liverpool playing very attacking football, very offensive, both fullbacks pushing forward all the time. And yeah, that's probably at the moment the big problem they have defensively, so many gaps at the back.
Expectations were that it would be Liverpool who would be pushing Manchester City. In fact, it's Arsenal at the moment who are top of the Premier League table. That off the back of that 3-1 victory, of course, in the North London Derby. That needs updating, of course. It's just 1 point now that we will see. Oh, look at that. Look at the power
look
I have.
At you.
Wow.
Look at you.
1 point.
Decision maker around here.
Top of the table. Steve Nicol, you would not believe the number of tweets that we have from Arsenal supporters who watch the show, who wish you were on after, of course, famously, you said after the Crystal Palace game, you see no improvements in Arsenal. They've improved, haven't they, now?
I wish I had a dollar for every time you brought that up.
Well, I'm going to have $50 soon, aren't I?
Yeah. Eventually. Listen, you can't argue that Arsenal are playing some great football. There's no question about it. And they outplayed Tottenham. We kind of knew that they were going to have more of the ball than Tottenham, because Tottenham don't want it. They want to counter-attack and use the pace of Son and Kane and Richarlison. And when you're playing well and things are going for you, you know, you get the rub of the green as well. You know, you think of the second goal where Lloris, who's got a mistake in him, I mean, just horrendous goalkeeping. And then you got Raul getting sent off for the most stupid, what a stupid challenge. And of course, the game's over. Shaka scores, still 25 minutes to go. And because they're so good on the ball, they keep the ball really well, way better than Tottenham could ever do or be. And of course, they've got a man up. Then the game was done and dusted. So, yeah, Arsenal, no question. Dan, unfortunately for me, look pretty much set to be at least top four.
Who finishes higher, Stevie, Arsenal or Liverpool?
Well, if I was to turn round and say Liverpool, I would probably look very stupid, because...
Well, right, I don't know, Liverpool, Stevie, that beard isn't helping
right.
your cause.
Too late.
Yeah. Listen, Liverpool... Liverpool trailed Manchester City 11 points a couple of seasons ago and came back. So can they do it and claw back against Arsenal? Yes, they could, but right now it's kind of hard to believe in it.
Pablo, how impressed have you been with Arsenal? Yeah, go on, Frank.
I think congratulations to the Gunners, and what they do is absolutely fantastic. I really like the way they play, the conceit that they have in their performances, but I don't know. It's like, for me, after watching Manchester City today, that I already know who's going to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
For me, there is no... Even if Arsenal is first with 1 point ahead, it's like, for me, the Premier League is already over. It's already given to the citizens because they're too strong. And I don't see Arsenal coping with them, with all due respect for the Gunners, because City is too strong to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't really my point, Frank, but that's okay.
Thank you. Well, you know, that's me. You know, I like to emphasize and make sure that everybody understand, you know, what we are talking about, and the fact that's the reality of it. City too strong for anybody.
No wonder the English media hate you.
Yeah. Thank you, English media, for that.
Pablo, how impressed have you been with Arsenal?
Very good. Gabriel Jesus on fire. It's been a great signing for Arsenal. Of course, he knew Arteta from his time at Man City, Zinchenko, but the team... been playing some amazing football this season. They look with so much confidence at the moment. Xhaka, all young lads performing really well with big personality and winning games convincingly. So, well done to Arteta, doing a great job at the moment. It looks like the only one who can really challenge Man City at the moment. Still a long way to go, but we'll see if they're good enough to at least be in the top four, or at least challenging for the Premier League. I don't know.
One more thing from the Premier League this weekend, which you may have missed because there's been so much else going on. We probably saw one of the worst calls that you'll see this season.
Or non-calls.
Well, indeed. This was in the Bournemouth-Brentford game.
What?
So the referee doesn't give anything.
Uh-huh.
VAR says, you might want to go to the monitor to see if there's a penalty. He takes a look at it.
Hey!
Doubles down.
What? No penalty?
Well, he does get the ball eventually.
What? When does he get the ball?
So, the referee says no penalty, and the game finishes 0-0. Stevie, did they get it right?
What? He cleans them up.
Pablo?
Wow.
Listen, I have to see that again because I'm not 100% sure. No.
Is it serious?
Seriously.
Is Pablo being serious?
Right now? Yeah, no, I'm serious. No, it just, it looks like. No, 100%. 100%.
Frank, what do you think?
I'm sorry, Ali Moreno. It's not because you're a striker that it would be penalty every time, you know. He touched the ball or he didn't touch the ball? And his leg, the right leg doesn't touch the player. So why do you want a penalty for that?
Because he takes the player before he gets the ball, Frank, doesn't he?
No, I'm not sure about that.
What are you not sure about that?
He takes the ball with his left foot. And I know Pablo tries to be nice to you because you force him to tell me that there is a penalty. But he thinks the opposite.
I'm with the English media.
No, just because I always try to defend fullbacks in those tackles inside the box.
Voila. And I agree with him. That's enough.
A lot more discussions on that point and some of the controversial calls that we saw.
What about the English media?
In Spain as well. Mark Clatterbuck, who's surely part of the English media as well somehow, will be joining us to reflect on that. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Real Madrid dropped their first points of the season on Sunday as they could only manage a home draw against Osasuna. It would be Madrid who would open the score in controversial circumstances. Rudiger looked offside. VAR would check. Would say they didn't interfere with play, which meant that Real Madrid were given the goal. Osasuna would equalise Osasuna into the second half. Nice header. Benzema missed a late penalty. In the end, though, it finishes one apiece. Pablo Zabaleta joins us. Pablo, Real Madrid, well, they weren't that good today.
Absolutely not at their best. As I said, the first half, they needed to increase the rhythm of the game, and they were very flat that second half as well. They missed that penalty from Benzema, but then they didn't combine at the edge of around the 18-yard box, shoot so many crosses into the box, and two big points dropped by Real Madrid tonight. Playing at home against Osasuna, it was a perfect game after an international break to get the 3 points. But not the best performer from Real Madrid.
Do we need to have a conversation about Karim Benzema and penalties? because you take a look at his, what, 13. He's missed five, a significant amount, three of those against El Sasuna.
Well, it's not a good record. It's not a good percentage. And then you sort of go down the line and see, well, who else could take a penalty for Real Madrid? Now, when Real Madrid has a penalty and Karim Benzema holds the ball, who's the guy that's going to say, no, Karim, let me take it?
Yeah.
And this is the part that is difficult, because I assume that he's not going to take himself out of the equation.
No.
He's not going to take himself out of the running. And who else is going to then be powerful enough and strong enough in that team or in that locker room to say, Karim, you know what? Maybe we give somebody else a chance. But that's a conversation that needs to be had at the very least, because of the record that you just saw. It's not a good percentage at all. When you're missing five penalties out of 13, that is not good. Let me break it down for you. That is bad, right? Cutting edge analysis, you miss five out of 13 penalties, that is not good. And even if you're cutting Benzema, you have to be strong enough to be able to take that criticism from your teammates and suggest that maybe somebody else gets an opportunity to take the big penalty kick whenever that comes up.
But also, if I'm Benzema,
yeah,
and I'm holding that ball and someone comes up, I say, you know that Champions League winning medal that you've got? It's because of my penalties.
Yes. However, the numbers don't lie.
Pablo,
do you step in,
take the ball off him?
No chance. No chance. Who else? If you're Benzema, I mean, you have two ways. Or just keep trying and you know, trying to score goals on penalty to get that confidence back. Otherwise, you should be humble enough to say, okay, I'm out of confidence now. I don't want to take the penalty, and I let Vinicius, Valverde, someone else to take it. But I'm sure no one from his teammates would go and say anything to Benzema, for sure.
Well, here's the other thing, and just for a little bit of context, Sergio Herrera, the same goalkeeper that he was facing today, from Osasuna, he stopped two penalties against Benzema last season. And whether you think that's in Benzema's head or not, well, it doesn't really matter. What we saw, the final result was that Karim Benzema did not look all that comfortable, hits it off the crossbar and out.
Right.
But this is only a conversation about Karim Benzema and penalty kicks. I suppose that's the direction we want to go. But truly and honestly, when we talk about this game, it's not just Karim Benzema missing a penalty, it's how lacking in urgency Real Madrid were from the very beginning of the game. It wasn't just the second half, it wasn't just the first half. Throughout the course of 90 minutes, there was never a jump in energy. There wasn't a jump in urgency. And so therefore, you allow Osasuna to hang around, who were, I thought, very well organized in the first half, who were difficult to break down. And then they said, all right, fine, you're going to let us play. I thought Tchouaméni today had a really difficult match. Turnovers and then lack of urgency defensively as well. Dani Ceballos, who gets an opportunity to play, he wasn't anything to really highlight in this game in any sort of positive manner. He had a difficult time. Both of those guys get taken out, and you're thinking, okay, here comes Valverde and Camavinga. They're going to give this team a different look. No, it didn't happen. It was flat throughout the course of 90 minutes. No urgency whatsoever. So the 1-1 result is well-deserved for Osasuna. And if you're Real Madrid, you can't complain a whole lot. You got an opportunity to win it with Karim Benzema's penalty. Did not take advantage of it. See you guys later.
You could argue they were fortunate to take the lead going into the break at halftime, Pablo. Where did you stand on whether or not Rudiger should have been ruled offside?
For me, Dan, that is offside, especially because just Rudiger trying to attempt the ball and probably has some impact on Herrera, the goalkeeper, who reacts a bit late, but I think that was just because of Rudiger. And in my opinion, from my point of view, I don't know why the decision from the referee or VAR wasn't like that, but that for me was offside.
Yeah, if you're Sergio Herrera, you're the goalkeeper, and you're seeing the cross come, the moment this ball is swung in, and maybe he misjudges the flight just a little bit, just a tiny bit, but his reaction is focusing on the touch by Rudiger. Mm. He's anticipating that there's going to be some sort of participation by Rudiger. And the moment that you have to stop, if you're Sergio Herrera, to figure out what Rudiger is going to do, because he's addressing the ball, because he's making a movement on the ball, now, by definition, Rudiger is Of course, participating in the play, impacting the play, impacting Sergio Herrera, and should have been offside. The moment that Sergio Herrera has to do this and just freeze for half a second.
And the only reason he's doing it is because of Rudy.
Because Rudy gets right there. Okay, is he going to touch it? I do this. Now, by the time I try to go to my left-hand side to try to save it, it's too late. I think he was offside, and I think the goal should not have stood.
Osasuna then, of course, getting the equaliser early in the second half. Does Courtois save this, Pablo?
No, very good game from Osasuna, I have to say. Credit to them because they were really disciplined, defensively very solid. They make it really difficult for Real Madrid tonight. That was a great goal. The cross was spot on, but the header was fantastic, just right to the far post. Impossible falling in for the goalkeeper. Okay. But a very good game from Osasuna, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't think Courtois gets there. Maybe if you're going to point the finger at Lunin in any shape or form in this particular play, you say maybe his positioning was the best, but no chance that Courtois, Lunin, myself, you on a ladder, nobody gets to that.
Why do I have to be on a ladder? What? I can jump that high.
I don't think so, Dan.
It could go on your shoulders.
Yes. Come on, Dan.
I think that would work out well. Real Madrid, Barcelona, level on points, Pablo. It's going to be one heck of a title race, you feel?
Oh, fantastic. That is what La Liga is all about at the moment between these two clubs. Not far for the Clásico. It's only 2 weeks. So that would be an amazing game. Barcelona playing in some amazing football. Two of the big contenders to win La Liga this season. So obviously we're really enjoying it.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Let's get some more reaction then, shall we, from that draw for Real Madrid as Sid Lowe caught up with Antonio Rudiger. But first, Carlo Ancelotti.
Carlo, one goal disallowed, a penalty off the bar, Mariano's header that hits the bar at the very end. Is this just one of those nights where you think it's not supposed to happen?
Yeah, this is what happens sometimes in football. There are games that you don't deserve to win, and you win a game that you where you deserve to win. Also, if you didn't play a fantastic football, but I think at the end we deserve to win this game. We were a little bit unlucky, but in a competition like the Liga, can happen to have a draw at home. Doesn't change a lot.
Obviously, as you say, it was pretty unfortunate the draw tonight. Was there anything you felt was missing from the performance in terms of analysing the way Real Madrid played?
Performance the first half we were too slow with the ball, without the ball, no intensity, and we didn't use the energy that we are used to do. Also, if usually in the first half we are not so intense. The second half was better. With Valverde Camavinga we had more energy, and at the end we deserved to win. We conceded only one shot in goal and they scored.
And obviously, presumably you would look at this and think this isn't a game to be concerned about. It's 9 games, 9 wins before tonight. It's obviously still 9 wins out of 10 and only a draw. So the way the team is playing in general beyond tonight, you're still pretty happy with how it's all going?
I think that tonight started a new period after the the international break. We didn't start well. We did really well the first period. We have time to change the things Wednesday.
Do you think the international break is part of the explanation for tonight?
No, it's not an excuse for us, because the squad is big. The player that I thought were a little bit tired were on the bench.
Antonio, when that last header hits the crossbar, is that the moment you think maybe it's just not our night?
Yeah, like we had the chances. We had the chances to win this game, definitely. And at the end we didn't win. I think we conceded a goal. I think this is called one of a million. And still we had the chance to win this game.
Is this just one of those results that can happen, or is there anything that you felt Real Madrid did not so well tonight?
I think we could have played with more intensity, quicker, and at the end of the day, no excuses, because we had to win this game. And if you wanna win the league this year, you gotta win those games.
As you say, to win the league this year, these are the kind of games you have to win. It looks very much, doesn't it, like a season in which you're going to need a lot of points to win the league, that the bar for the title might be really quite high.
Definitely, because now in terms of games and everything and results, we are the same. We have the same results like Barcelona. And we have to win those games because it's going to get tight.
First time I've seen that kit, looks like they've been run over. Okay. Like tyre marks right across them.
Does that mean you like it?
No,
or not?
I don't think I do.
Okay.
I don't want to run over by a bus look.
Well,
anyway.
Thank you, Dan.
Sid Lowe is with us now from the Bernabeu. Sid, I think you're a bit nice to them. I didn't think Real Madrid were that good at all today.
This was what I was saying, was this kind of the way that Ancelotti put it, I think, that, you know, he talked about the fact that sometimes this can happen, that you have the opportunities to win the game. Obviously, you hit the bar twice, you have a goal disallowed. There are opportunities. But I think he recognised as well, didn't he, that they didn't play particularly well, that in the first half, at least, they were too slow, that maybe it picked up in the second half. But I think this was a game where Osasuna can feel like they deserve the draw. I thought they played really, really well, Osasuna, tonight. I thought they judged the moments right. I thought they kept the ball really well. They created a couple of really good chances in the first half, scored with that header in the second. And so, while I don't think this was dreadful from Real Madrid by any means, I think Ancelotti was quite right to say it, and so too Antonio Rudiger, that it wasn't their best performance. And the other thing I thought was interesting about what Ancelotti said was that suggestion that we're going into a different period now. And I think implicitly he's saying, forget those 9 wins in a row. We have now got to see this through to the World Cup, picking up sufficient points to keep ourselves ahead of Barcelona.
I'm going to run away. Thank you very much, Sid. Much appreciated.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much for watching this seamless production of ESPN FC. If you want more, Extra Time is next.
I thought the word great today.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. Frank LaBeouf joins us as well. And as does the man, the myth, the legend, the bearded one.
Yes.
Steve Nicol.
Yes.
I don't think his sound's working. I don't think you can hear us. It's going brilliantly. This is quite something today, I'll tell you what. Right, Frank, what would you have done differently playing against Haaland? How would you have defended him closely or wait until he turns to face you?
There is any solution to do it differently against Haaland. because you want to mark him, you want to be close to him, you don't want him to turn, but with his body, you don't even see the ball. So you have to go right or left to make sure you can see the ball, therefore you're going to make a decision, and he's going to turn the other way. If you take a little bit of distance, the guy is powerful, he's fast, he's skillful. Again, I play only once against Ronaldo. It worked well, but I think you have to be very lucky because those kind of players doesn't give you any possibility to win against them because they have every tool that you need to be a fantastic player, and they are fantastic players. And most of the time, you look ridiculous, but you have to give 100%. You have to make sure you're gonna be ready to die on the field against those players and pray that something fantastic is gonna happen that day against them. But otherwise, you will be like the others. You're gonna suffer and be humiliated by those players.
Is the music loud? It's quite loud in my ear.
It's gone. That's the power. Stevie can hear us again.
Yeah.
Stevie, how are you?
I'm all right, aye.
How have your boredom levels been over the last 2 weeks?
Oh, seriously. I mean, do you know what's really strange? I'm actually very good at sitting on my backside doing nothing.
Right.
I'm really good at it. But you know when you actually have to do it?
Yeah.
It's a completely different mindset. It's weird. I got to tell you though, the worst thing is trying to get to sleep.
Oh.
Hey, imagine trying to sleep with this thing on.
Oh my goodness.
I've got to wear that in bed.
Stevie, just absolute explain nightmare. What you had done. A lot of people have asked what you had done.
I had repairs to the muscles and the tendons around my, what do you call it? Rotator cuff, yeah. The muscles were torn and the tendons had separated from the bone. So I had to get it all put back together the jigsaw back together.
Could you just look the other way, Stevie, so we can just see the side beard profile? Look at that.
Yeah.
It looks better that way. So obviously you're left-handed, so you can't shave. That's where we're at, or is this a new look? Because I would say maybe.
Yeah, right. yeah, I'm going to keep this, Anna.
Are you not trusting Eleanor with a razor blade?
Well, I'm not flavour of the month with Eleanor, so right now, no.
Why? What have you done?
No, it's what I haven't done. I've been given it the old I can't move with this shoulder. So I can't do anything.
Oh, imagine looking after Stevie all this time.
You know, you could go to a barber shop and get shaven. I'm just saying.
Yes, but that would cost money.
Oh, I see.
Stevie's not going to pay for a wet shave, is he?
That's so harsh. Where's the barber shop?
Say again, Stevie.
Where's the barber shop I can get a shave? So where can I get a shave at a barber shop?
They all do them.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I'll do that. I didn't know that. See, you learn something every day.
It's a nice feeling. I like it. You feel a bit special. It's nice.
Well, I'll need to get Eleanor to drive me there. Oh, well. I don't know whether she'll be that keen right now. I might have to walk.
Read Ten Hag's post-game comments, and he said there was a lack of belief from the kickoff. As a player or coach, what are the signs you can see from the players on the pitch that shows this lack of belief? Can you change this attitude right before the game, or is it too late, Stevie?
Do you know, this lack of belief thing, you know, there's always, you know, when you tell your team that you're going to sit back a bit and let them come on to you, then you're asking them to just sit off. And that can be dangerous. You know, players get things in their head and they're maybe too busy looking around and looking for numbers. And instead of concentrating on, right, where's the line? Where's the line we back off to and then we stop? It didn't seem as though they had a line. You know, like I would tell my team, we were away in LA when they were at their best, I'd be like, right, 10 yards inside our, 10 yards inside our half, that's where we draw the line. That's where we go and to take a step up and engage the ball. It didn't seem as though they had anything like that, that sort of plan. It almost felt as though he said, right, we'll back off and then once we win it, then we'll break. But you've got to give them clean, precise orders so that every single one of them knows where that line is. Where do we stop? And it didn't look to me as though they did. Frank, so I just think it's always kind of dangerous to tell your team to step off, because it's almost like you're almost like telling them, right, just keep out the road.
Frank, as a player on the pitch, and obviously you were quite a vocal leader, can you do something to give the side more belief?
Well, there is the frame of mind that you are before the game, and that you with all the hopes that you can get. But after 8 minutes, like it happened today to Manchester United, you concede a goal. So I think you can reunite all the players and regroup all the players, and as a leader say, okay guys, okay, we're not going to be sank by that team that we're going to play against, that we play against. We have to work together, and maybe you can change something. Let's play a little bit higher or drop a little bit, depending on what you want to do. Yes, there is a time to change stuff, and we are professional players, so we have to make sure that we can respond to any changes of tactic. It's difficult. But I saw, for example, Xhaka, when Arsenal scored the first goal, he talked to the players. And I'm sure that I know what he told them. Guys, we have to keep on playing. We have to be sure that we stay high on the field. That we can do on the positive way. It's harder on the negative, negative moment. But it can be done. I'm sure it can be done. It's difficult, but it can be done.
What's it like at half-time, Ali, when you're like 4-0 down?
Yeah, whatever sense of belief you had is gone, because you're now questioning everything. You're questioning yourself, right. You're questioning the manager, you're questioning the guy next to you. And usually, if a team is not together to begin with, and it's now for nothing, and it's now halftime, you then very easily start pointing the finger. Instead of doing what Frank just mentioned, which is, hey, can we get together and be better? The tendency is usually the team gets even more fractured. So in the case of Manchester United, mm-hmm. I suppose what you can highlight is the fact that the second half came and there was, at the very least, some sort of fight from Manchester United. Now, I would argue that they were playing against a lesser version of Manchester City, who had essentially downgraded their performance to match Manchester United. But regardless, if you're a Manchester United fan, be encouraged by the fact that at the very least the team just didn't put their heads down, shoulders down, and stop playing, which could have happened very easily. And if it had happened, then this game would have been completely out of control.
Frank, don't be political. Give me a 100% honest answer. If you were Harry Maguire, would a little bit of you have enjoyed that?
No. I wouldn't enjoy it. You would be a little bit upset by the fact you couldn't play. That you will react. My position will be, I must be so bad to not being able to be on the field with that team losing that much. So it will. Make me questioning my abilities and my football, and I think I will be more upset about myself than being happy to what happens to my teammates, because at the end of the day, the teammates have nothing to do with my situation.
Right.
That's the choice of the coach, and I cannot be happy with what my teammates are suffering about.
Stevie, on yesterday's show, I asked, not me, the righteous anger of Craig Burley, the percentage chance that Arsenal would finish ahead of Liverpool. Craig and Xhaka had 60-40, Jan had 51-49, everyone's saying Arsenal.
Yeah.
What chance do you give Arsenal to finish ahead of Liverpool? What percentage?
Yeah, I saw that. I'll go in between both Craig and Jan. Somewhere in between, 55-45 on Arsenal's favour. You know, at the end of the day, it is only 8 games. Mm-hmm. We've still got, what, another 30 to go?
Yeah.
But you guess you've got to try and figure out the way things are going and how they might continue to be. And I don't see anything changing. I don't see anything changing quickly with Liverpool's defence. And so you'd have to go with Arsenal. So I'll go 55-45 on Arsenal's favour.
You know, there were a couple of moments there where math could have been an issue, but Stevie pulled through.
Oh, yeah. He's all over. Don't question him.
The percentages were clean.
Yeah.
The remaining games were clean.
I just need.
I'm just saying, he's had plenty of time to think about his mathematical ability.
Go on, Frank.
Guys, do you know when Arsenal plays against Liverpool, Manchester City? Sorry, is it soon or not? Because the thing is, you know, if they are they're full of confidence right now, but if they have to play very soon against that fantastic Manchester City, and being by the team like any team would be, they are a very young team, very young players. You know, the reaction of those players could be dreadful after that because of their questioning that they could have, you know, about their football. So it's why I'm asking that. But if it's soon that they're going to play at the Etihad against Manchester City, that Manchester City, it could be a turning point to Gunners season. So it's why it's hard to answer that question, I think.
On a similar theme, you kind of covered it, Stevie. Since it's clear Arsenal finished top four, would Stevie be willing to go double or nothing that Arsenal finish higher than Liverpool? Of course, $50 is the bet we had at the start of the season. I said that Arsenal were going to finish in the top four. You said they'd be lucky to finish in the top 10. Obviously, that's looking slightly different now. What do you think, Stevie? Double or nothing?
It's not like you to make stuff up, Dan. Yeah, I mean, hey. Not a chance.
He looks like a defeated man, doesn't he? Just look at him.
Come on. He's just had a procedure. Be respectful.
Well, I've been respectful.
Look at the man. He hasn't been able to shave.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to the barber and you want him to double the bet?
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
Stevie.
You're asking a hobo to give you more money.
Yeah. Stevie, how's washing in this scenario?
Oh, no, don't talk about it.
not quite as frequent as it used to be.
I can smell it from the upstairs. I can smell it.
No wonder Eleanor's not happy with you. Frank, on current...
I'm in the other room, isn't I? So it'll no matter.
On current...
I'm the only person that'll smell me. The dog's not bothered.
On current form, Frank, where does William Saliba rank in terms of best centre backs in world football?
Oh, calm down.
I would say that it's a little bit too soon to rank him and compare him to some other centre backs, you know, in the world of football. He had a fantastic season for Marseille. He's doing absolutely great for the Gunners right now. If he carries on, he can be one of the best centre-back in the world, that's for sure. But in the world of football, it means that you have to talk about Marcel Desailly, Sergio Ramos.
Now, Frank, now.
Oh, now?
Yes.
Now. Beckenbauer.
He was just about to say Frank Leboeuf.
Yes, he was.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about myself. Never. You know me. I'm very humble. He's definitely this season, from the beginning of the season, one of the best. But I could name like Alaba or so many others, you know. But he's one of the best. He's in the top 10 for sure.
Would you swap him for Van Dijk, Stevie?
Ooh.
No.
He's not playing.
Nope.
Not experience.
Playing. Not messing around.
Nah.
Experience.
Hey, listen. Hey, again, let's calm down. The kids had 8 good games for Arsenal.
Oh.
And Van Dijk's...
8 more than Van Dijk
had
this season.
Kind of struggled doing 8 games. So you're telling me, are you telling me that that's it? It's over? There's not a player There's not a player that played the game professionally that hasn't gone through a bad time. I don't care how good you are or have been or could be. Everybody has a tough time at some stage. And right now, well, Joe Van Dijk's having a tough time. Wow, it happens. But I'd still take him over Saliba right now.
A question to all. Who was your favourite opponent back in the day, Stevie?
Newcastle. I used to always score against them.
Oh, you got your hat-trick against Newcastle.
Scored against them at Anfield. Scored against them at St James's Park two or three different occasions. Yeah, so.
Perfect.
No, I enjoyed playing against Newcastle.
There seems some background noise going on, Steve. I heard some shouting. Is that your dog as well?
That's the dog.
Good. The dog which you tripped over and started all of this.
Well, somebody is throwing a ball or something up and upstairs.
Right.
That's what the noise is.
Okay. Who's doing that, Stevie?
Hey!
Oh, no! He looks so fed up.
Hey!
Oh, Newcastle. Frank, who did you like playing against?
Leicester.
Yes.
I had a good run with Leicester.
Yeah, that was the FA. Was that the FA Cup game?
The quarterfinal of the FA Cup game that we drew away from home the first game, and I saved at the last minute on the line.
Yes.
And the second game, I scored a penalty on the 116 minutes, which was. I'm sorry, it wasn't a penalty, but I scored. And the best goal of my life was against Leicester in the 19th minute in the Premier League.
Yes,
and that was a great souvenir memory.
There's all that humility coming out again. Mm-hmm. The formation. What about you, Ali?
DC United.
Oh yeah, DC United were your team.
For whatever reason. I didn't score many goals, Dan.
Yeah.
But against DC United.
And that Seb's team as well. Makes it even better.
Well, yes. I didn't know that then, but now it makes it even better. Yes.
Right. Final question. Very pertinent. Frank, do you have any beer tips for Stevie?
Anyone?
Yeah. beer tip. Make sure that it's not too long. Make sure that it's not too designed. Make sure it's not too designed because you will look like a rapper, and I think you're too old
for well
that.
Yeah, it's well designed, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think Stevie's got
Make it wide, a little bit wide.
Yeah, no, exactly. Ali, you had a big beard when Columbus Crew won.
Yeah, but it was about team togetherness.
Oh, everyone grew a beard.
Everybody grew a beard.
But yours is quite full. It was much more impressive than what Stevie's got. Any tips?
Play off beer.
Yeah.
First, if he doesn't like it, he's got to go to a barber shop.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And because it becomes quite annoying. And for somebody who cannot use his left hand, and now he's gonna get very itchy and scratchy, and I know Stevie, he's gonna get annoyed by this.
Yeah, but it's gonna be I'd say $30 to get it done. He's not paying $30 for a shave. Look, see, exactly.
No, but you can package deal with the haircut.
I'll wait.
You know, if you make it as part of the package
then
for the
haircut. Then it's $50, $60, isn't it?
No. Look, he's gonna give you $50 at the end of the season. That's a different story.
No, I think he's not.
It would be a good experience for Stevie. I think he would enjoy it. He would be pampered.
No, because it would just be thinking, oh, this is costing so much money. You know what Stevie's brain and our works.
So if it's $30 to get a shave,
yes,
and I don't get it done, then I'll stick it out till I can use my left arm, and then that means it's only going to cost me $20 extra to give you.
Yeah, but you've got to
the
look
$30
like
I was going to pay on a shave, I'll put that towards your money.
Right.
So I'm only giving you $20, really.
Okay, Stevie.
So actually, the bet's $20.
Well,
Stevie.
$20, I don't mind that.
Stevie, I swear to God, I pay for you. Make it clean. I pay for you.
There it is.
I love you.
Yeah. I'll text you my address.
Send me the check. Send me the invoice. I pay for you.
You could Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Yeah. No way Stevie knows any of those things.
Nope.
Okay, I'll look to do it.
Frank
when is... When's he talking to me?
Frank is here. When is he? Frank's here next month.
Is he?
Could give parts of money over then.
Oh.
There we are.
What a moment.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Perfect. There we are. Well, Stevie's happy now. And while you're at it, can you give Dan $50?
I'll take anything. Francs. Pounds, shekels.
That is it. Yeah, Frank's haven't existed for a while. That is it, ESPN FC, back on your screens.
Corona.
Are you back here tomorrow, Stevie?
No, Tuesday.
Oh, right, okay.
Thank you, Stevie.
Maybe bring a bit more...
Yeah, more energy,
I'll
please.
I'll have a ZZ Top. By Tuesday, I'll be like ZZ Top.
Right, that's it. Nice relevant reference. Mark Kattenberg here tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.